Good morning, dearly beloved listener. We are glad to be here again to continue to teach you vital truths about our common salvation using the Word of God as revealed in the Scripture as our standard. This is Let the Bible Speak. We believe that it's only the Word of God, as contained in the Bible, that generates life, creates faith, builds character, infuses hope, cleanses our minds, and guarantees our future forever. We cannot live without the Word of God.
That's true.
At the same time, we equally believe that anyone who wishes to worship God acceptably must, of necessity, rightly handle the Word of God and interpret it based on the original intended meaning. Therefore, we urge you, dear listening friend, never to take the Word of God for granted by accepting the words of men. Last week, we took your questions and used the Bible to answer them. Before that, we considered the apostasy of the Old Testament, starting from Jeroboam, and how Jeroboam changed Israel's object of worship, the worship style and place, because he turned his heart and eyes away from the Word of God. So, dear listener, we hope you are learning from biblical history, because if you don't, you are condemned to repeat the grievous mistakes of the past. The Apostle Paul encouraged Christians to learn from the Old Testament history, so that understanding God and his ways better, you may have hope and walk right. That is in Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Today, we wish to take another inquiry into the biblical history of apostasy. But this time, we are going to the New Testament. So in today's lesson, we'll be looking at prophecies and fulfillment of the departure in church organization and leadership. We always begin our studies with prayer, and we therefore ask that you kindly join us in one at this moment.
Our dear Father, Lord in heaven, we praise you for such a wonderful day. We thank you for your kindness upon our families and our home and nation. Father, we thank you that you have granted us the privilege to once again go into your words today. As we learn from the mistakes of the past, help us to live faithful in this present age, that we might be acceptable on that day of reckoning. Father, we want to commit unto your hand our nation, that your peace might reign in it. Amen. That you restore our nation back to the time of prosperity. Father Almighty, bless our listeners this day and help us that we all gather courage to do your will always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
You are on to Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is a sponsored program of the Churches of Christ, and we advocate a return to the Christianity that we find in the New Testament section of the Bible. At Let the Bible Speak, we share our belief that the Word of God, which is the seed of the kingdom of Christ, and that using it, this seed alone, the church can be reproduced the way it was when Jesus designed and founded it, with that same seed that produced it more than 2,000 years ago. We also believe that the Bible teaches us to restore and maintain the undenominational Christianity as revealed in the pages of the New Testament of Christ. And we pray that you, dear listening friend, will join us in this noble quest. You may obtain a free copy of this broadcast, another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, by contacting us with the following numbers: 090-771-62877. We also have 080-604-11389. And lastly, we have 080-338-24662. Please contact us also by WhatsApp using these numbers given, and contact us with email with COC, or just write Church of Christ Cado, one word, at yahoo.com. And as well as check our website with www.churchofchrist.org. And then we also have Let the Bible Speak on ITV channel 142, and Star Times, channel 130, every Saturday, 6 to 6:30 p.m. I'm Abiodun Adegoroye, and with me in the studio is David Apata, who also serves as evangelist with the Church of Christ Cado, our sponsoring congregation.
Beloved listener, God bless you today for giving your time to hear his words, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
We also have Felix Ekpeyong, an evangelist of Christ, serving with the Church of Christ in Masaka.
Beloved listening friend, good morning.
Now, we begin today's study by exploring various prophecies that teach about the departure from the Christian faith that the world has been experiencing since the 4th century AD, after Christ and the apostles left the scene. The Bible makes it abundantly clear when and how this great apostasy will take place. It is a fascinating study, and we just wish to ask that you, dear listening friend, join us in this exploration of the events that the Bible revealed will culminate in a great judgment on that day when Jesus returns to judge the world in righteousness. Jesus Christ and other inspired writers prophesied and sternly warned Christians against a departure from the Christian faith, which started with apostatizing from the divine leadership system which God arranged for his church. It is ironic, listening friend, that the very people who appear as gallant soldiers of Christ and spiritual giants in Christ today are the very ones fulfilling the prophecies about this departure from God's pattern, which is identified as the work of the devil. For example, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 17, Jesus prophesied and gave a strong warning or caution about the false prophets that will come with the use of the word beware. Let the Bible speak from Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 17.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 16.
Every seed must produce according to his own.
That's true.
Jesus was giving the disciples or Christians a warning to be on their guard against false prophets and teachers. The manner in which they will come is said to be in sheep's clothing. That is, they are counterfeits. They will pretend to be real, but their true nature is identified to be ravening wolves. That is, wolves that are very hungry, looking for a straying sheep to prey on. It is no wonder that we see so many so-called men of God who are greedy for material gains. As a result, they distort many passages, especially Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, as a spiritual gun pointed at the heads of their followership to accumulate money from them, using it for themselves. Well, they achieve this success by deviating from the divine organization of leadership in the church and place themselves higher than the scripture allow, claiming the position due to Christ only, so that they will be worshipped by their followers. Dear listener, Jesus said that these false prophets can be known by their fruits. You must compare what people do today in Christianity with what has been laid down by inspiration in the scripture. So shine your eyes.
That's true.
A major prophecy about apostasy and apostates is given in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Let the Bible speak.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 to 3.
Thank you. The characteristics of these false teachers, as mentioned in this passage, include the following. They will be greedy, they will be covetous, they will be sensual, and they will be adulterous. In fact, another one says they will deny the lordship of Christ, putting themselves
first
in the place of Christ. Now, this may be applied to those who are desirous of position and power, who, despite the warning of Jesus in Matthew 23, that disciples should not put themselves on a pedestal or allow people to put them on one, they have accepted the prideful position of preeminent personalities over believers in Jesus, and thereby they played into the hands of Satan, who now uses this licentious state to bring so many other temptations of power, like sexual immorality, power and authority, which no man should wield except the Lord. Many leaders today find themselves helplessly immersed in sensuality, as Peter prophesied. And we have some divorcing their wives, remarrying many times, some sleeping with young women in their churches, and most of them overcome by greed, even competing to display this greed by acquiring airplanes and other material possessions. Listening friend, We all are supposed to be under the authority of Christ by obeying his teachings in all things.
That's true.
But what we see people today as a result of the ungodly desire to be in control, to have preeminence over others, to draw away disciples of Christ to make their own disciples, and to have control over them, we see them, you know, agreeing with the prophecy which by the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul in Acts 20, 28 to 30 says that will happen. Let us allow the Bible to speak.
Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 30.
Thank you. If you have listened to this passage, these men who were going to depart from the faith, they were already leaders under Christ.
That's true.
But since they were hungry for power and authority and to be in control, they would not be satisfied with only being followers of Christ, but also to become masters, just like Christ. They will covet the power and authority that only belong to Christ and will rebel from the way of Christ. These men will speak perverse things, wearing high-sounding titles to make themselves different from other disciples, and which the disciples that they call floor members or laity. Now, after drawing these disciples to themselves, they will further teach things that are contrary to the teachings of Christ, since they need to keep their disciples to themselves. Let us hear some of those such teachings as prophesied in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Let the Bible speak.
Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of lies whose conscience are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from food that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 4.
Thank you. When a man acquires power and authority, which is not given to him by Christ, to draw disciples to himself, he will also influence them with teachings that are not from Christ.
That's true.
Power is very corruptive, especially when one is not under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. For example, when a man or a woman claims to be the general overseer or founder of a church, he or she will also develop philosophies and teachings to make and keep members and lead them in the way he or she thinks that they should go and to what he or she feels they should believe. This is why most churches today are being governed by the constitutions drawn by the founders of those churches. So, the apostasy began with leadership and authority in the churches and continued when these leaders changed the ordinances and doctrines of Christ. Instead of the apostles' doctrine, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it became the doctrine of demons and deceitful spirits and the doctrines of men. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Now, so, dear listener, if God has forewarned the world by prophecies about the apostasy that we are seeing today, is it not enough reason for us to be on our guard against every proclamation not found in the scripture? It may bewilder you to later realize that even you may be fulfilling these prophecies, or you may be under the control of one who is fulfilling them. Let us trace how men started fulfilling the prophecy of departing from God's pattern and arrangement of leadership in his church. Dear listening friend, it is worthwhile to note that even before the death of the last apostle standing, which was Apostle John, false teachers had arisen, teaching perverse things as stated in these prophecies. Some of them identified themselves as Gnostics who taught that Jesus Christ did not actually come in the flesh, but only appeared like a real human being. Another set claimed since God is light, he cannot also be the creator of anything dark or sin, and that darkness is evil. There were many other teachings which posed contempt to the sovereignty of God and his person. Apostle John at that time combated these false teachings, first by proving that Christ came in the flesh with the use of his human senses of seeing, touching, hearing, and communing. Let the Bible speak from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Amen.
Well, again, John gave a litmus for Christians then, and even to use in testing every spirit, and then telling Christians to hold fast to what is good after testing. Let the Bible speak from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ had come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen.
They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God.
Yes.
Whosoever knows God, listen to us.
Amen.
Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 6.
Thank you. Do you see the test to be given to teachers to see whether they are from God or not? If they are teaching the apostles' doctrine, behaving like the apostles, then they are from God. But if they are actually going away from the apostolic doctrine, which has been written for us in the New Testament, then they are actually false teachers. So, but still, during that first century, men had begun to exalt themselves above other men shortly after the Holy Spirit's warning. Apostle Paul referred to Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among the brethren, that he would not even accept even the apostles themselves. 3 John chapter 1, verse 9. Let the Bible speak.
I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. 3 John, verse 9.
Thank you. Dear listener, tracing history of departure from Acts chapter 20 is very plain. Acts 20 declares that the source of departure is men who were in leadership position of the church. Remember that the church which Jesus built is headed by Christ and Christ alone. The apostles and the first century Christians knew this, and they were loyal to the fact that Jesus Christ is the only person that has supremacy over the church universally. This is clearly seen in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Let the Bible speak.
That he walked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rulers and authority and powers and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23.
And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18.
Well, beloved listening friend, since Christ is the only universal head, the general overseer or archbishop of the church, Christ made it clear that elders be ordained to oversee the church locally or congregationally. He commanded through the apostles a structure of leadership that each mature congregation should have what then was known as elders or bishops, or overseers or shepherds or pastors. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23, the Holy Spirit revealed that when Paul and Barnabas retraced their first missionary journey steps, they appointed elders in every church. Let the Bible speak.
And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, with prayers and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Acts chapter 14, verse 23.
Good. In every church, elders. This is also seen in Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Let the Bible speak.
For this cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed you. Titus chapter 1, verse 5.
Good. The elders were to watch over souls, rule and feed the church or the flock in a particular location. They were not to act universally.
That's true.
This is captured in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Let the Bible speak.
I exhort the elders who are among you, I, being also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God among you, taking the oversight, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for base gain, but readily, nor as lording it over those allotted to you by God, but becoming example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a never fading crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 4.
Thank you. Dear listener, these passages reveal that in each local church or congregation, there was a plurality of elders.
That's true.
More than one. This simply tells us that every church or congregation in different geographical location or region had men called elders, not one man called elder, to shepherd them on behalf of the Lord. Again, in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, as Paul returned to Jerusalem from that missionary journey, he sent from Miletus to Ephesus that the elders of the church should come and meet him, whom he addressed as bishops or overseers in verse 28 of the same Acts chapter 20. Let the Bible speak.
Now, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to him to come. Acts chapter 20, verse 17.
Thank you. So many of us today are unaware that elders, bishops, overseers, pastors, or shepherds are not different offices in the church, but names or terms describing their qualifications and the nature of their work. The elders in each local church, they have equal authority. There was not one that is over the other. The authority does not extend beyond also the flock of God among them in that local congregation. So as it was prophesied, there came a time that some elders, also known as bishops, began to extend their authority. How did this happen, you may ask? A famous church historian named Mattox, in his church history book titled The Eternal Kingdom, identified that it was Ignatius, who was one of the elders in Antioch and lived in the second century AD. He was the first one to advocate a distinction between elders and bishops. He advocated that there should be one man, a monarchical bishop, ruling over the congregation. Mattox said that this innovation came to reality after the year 150 AD. You will see that in page 59 of his book. So, dear listening friend, the verses of the scripture earlier read in Acts chapter 20, verse 17, 28 to 30, revealed that the word elder, bishop, overseer refer to one and the same office.
That's true.
They are used interchangeably in the New Testament to refer to the same individual or refer to one work of shepherding the lost church. But as a result of men's lack of respect for biblical authority, they began to distinguish elder from bishop as well as from overseer. This history has sadly continued repeating itself today in so many of our churches, all because men do not respect the authority of the Bible and the prophecies regarding this departure. That is why so many churches today, in them you see a difference between the bishop and the elders. There's also a difference between the overseers and the pastors and the elders of the church. During the time of Emperor Constantine, we must browse a little bit again in history. During the time of this Emperor Constantine, the church and the state began to be very, very close at about 313 AD. Then there was this government involvement in the affairs of the church, which led to a great departure from the apostolic teaching and practice of church organization, which is one of the most striking apostasies which we are experiencing even till today. Some congregations came to be ruled by one bishop with a group of elders and deacons under him. Wow. Listening friend, you may wonder and want to know how this came about, since this organizational ranking system was in stark contrast to what is revealed in the scripture. No man during the first century AD would claim to be the head of any congregation, not to mention the church at large. None of the apostles dared assume an office or position reserved only for Jesus Christ, who died for them. No man wore any religious title that elevated him above other Christians. The word apostle was not even used as a title. And the irony of this is that the word apostle means someone sent with a commission or a sent servant. It was never a father, papa, baba of the church, general overseer, geo, or all the other high-sounding and bogus religious titles men wear today.
Mm.
The historian Mattox and also Everett Ferguson, in tracing this history, narrated that elders in their meetings to discuss the work of the church had maybe one to be a chairman of the meeting. This chairmanship eventually became a permanent position, and the word bishop was reserved for one who occupied this chairmanship position. He was sometimes called the president of the church and gradually assumed the responsibilities that originally and divinely rested upon all the elders. This position by the year 150 AD had developed into the monarchal bishop, which is one-man bishop arrangement in a local church. This order continued for hundreds of years, after which the authority of this one-man bishop extended to congregations other than the one that appointed him. Now, this happened when the city church would establish congregations in neighboring towns and villages. Instead of recognizing the new congregations as independent bodies of Christ, as seen in the Bible, the city church will control them through the bishop. Gradually, as city bishops extended their authority, they became what is known as metropolitan bishops. History revealed that this departure grew, that by 190 AD, Victor of Rome claimed to be the universal bishop. From here, the Old Testament pattern of priesthood developed, and the idea of clergy and laity emerged. Where was the Bible at this time? It was lost in Latin and Greek language, which many of the people could not read or speak. Many people today cannot still read the Bible, even though it is in their language and in their phones. They prefer to listen to a man who asserts himself over them, telling them what they want to hear. Listening friend, you can see that this history is also repeating itself today. We see so many people establishing churches in several places. Instead of allowing these newly established churches to be independent with their own leadership as set forth in the Bible, they control these churches through the headquarters, through bishops, pastors, general overseer's office, and many other unbiblical offices and titles. Furthermore, after the second century AD, there began to be a combination of churches in a large area under a single government oversight. This area became known what is known as a diocese. So one of the metropolitan bishops graduated into a diocesan bishop. Dear listener, is it not what is happening today?
Mm.
We see churches having dioceses controlled by diocesan bishops.
Mm.
The prophecies of apostasy continue to be fulfilled, even as men love to have control over other men and women and are establishing their own churches under the guise that God told them so. Well, really? God told you so? Will God change his word and become the author of confusion? When did God change his word, which he said will judge the world? Well, let the Bible speak. We have to come to an end for this broadcast. You may obtain a free copy of this broadcast and other broadcasts of Let the Bible Speak by contacting us with the following numbers: 090-771-62877. We have 080-604-11389. And lastly, we have 080-338-24662. We pray that you will contact us by WhatsApp or by SMS. You can check Let the Bible Speak on ITV channel 142 and Star Times channel 130 every Saturday, 6 to 6:30 p.m. May the Lord bless you this week and make your progress known to the world so that you will have a testimony to give. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessing.